Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, find your notes that are there in your bulletin. Follow along with us this morning. We're in a series that we've entitled Elisha Wanting More, where we're looking at the prophet, his life, and his miracles to see what we can learn about wanting more of God. And today we're going to talk about a principle that probably all of us wrestle with, that's difficult for us, and yet it's so critical if we want more of God. We're going to look at the times when we are dumbfounded by God. You know, sometimes what God does, I just look at and say, what in the world's going on, right? Just doesn't make sense. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But that's God, and that's me. All right, there's a story in 2 Kings chapter 4 that we're going to look at. We're going to begin with understanding that we must desire to honor God. We must desire to honor God. In other words, if I want more of God, I need to desire to honor Him. Verse 8, 2 Kings chapter 4. One day, Elisha went to the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come to her home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. Okay, a couple things we know. Number one, Shunem is on the way of Elisha's tour. In other words, he is from point A to point B. Prophets traveled around. He traveled around. She was off the main route of what he would go by often and frequently as he traveled. Secondly, she's a wealthy woman. Thirdly, she made great food. Okay? I mean, he goes back. Right? She goes back. Verse 9, she said to her husband, I am sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. In other words, she really doesn't know who he is. She's just kind of looking at him, and through the conversation and through his presence, she begins to realize, you know what? This is a godly man. Verse 10, let's build a small room for him on the roof, furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, a lamp. Now, a lamp is not something that you turn on and off with a switch, all right? A lamp would be a little candle, something like that. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by. This lady had a desire to honor God. She wanted to serve God. She wanted to please Him. She recognized this man was godly. She was willing to invest her resources at her expense, at her initiative, to go ahead and do this. Elisha doesn't ask for it. She just says, you know what? This is what needs to happen. This is what we can do. This is something that we can provide. And she paid for it, and she provided a place to stay. So what we see here is a lady who has a great desire to honor God. Now, what we're going to talk about for the remainder of our time here hinges upon this principle, that you and I in our life have to have a desire to honor God if we want more. Now, that desire to honor God doesn't mean we won't ever make mistakes, but it does mean that's our heart's cry. Now, the problem is this. We don't know ourselves very well. In fact, the Bible tells us that the heart is deceptive. That you talk to most people, you know, oh, they've got a good heart. Oh, do they? How do you know that? Well, I just think they do. Well, I've got a good heart. Well, I've got good intentions. Oh, really? You know what? One day, we are told that God is going to judge our heart. He's going to judge our motives. You're not going to come before God and be able to say, God's going to say, okay, what do you got? And you're not going to get to list off all the good things you did. What's going to happen is you're going to come before God, and He's just going to look right through you into the inner core of who you are, and He knows everything that's in there. And He knows whether or not you're sincere. He knows whether or not you are unselfish. He knows whether or not your heart really desires to please Him. You don't fool God. You can fool everybody else in this room and everybody else on this planet, but you don't fool God. And so you and I constantly have to deal with this issue of our heart. And let me put it more practical. You and I constantly have to deal with our motives. Why am I doing what I'm doing? My motives. If we're honest, most of the time our motives are very selfish. Well, I got a really good heart. Okay, then why do you get so ticked off when somebody doesn't do what you want them to do? That right there is an indicator that your motives aren't right. So you and I have to begin here. I want a heart. I have desire. God, what I want most in life is I want to honor you. I want to serve you. I want to follow you. I want to do everything that's right. I want to please you. I have this great desire to honor God. That's where it all begins, and that's what this woman had. So it begins with, if I want more, there has to have a desire. I want to honor God with everything that I have. She was willing to take her resources. She was willing to invest it in another person. She was willing to do this because she sensed God was in it. Second point, we must overcome the fear of dashing our hopes. I think a lot of people read this story and don't get to where I'm going to go, but we'll see. One day, Elisha returned to Shunem, and he went up to his upper room to rest. Now, it really wasn't that unusual. Most people in the East, when you go there, they can't go out because property is too valuable. They don't have enough of it, so they go up. So that was just, he went to the upper room. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Tell the woman for Shunem, I want to speak to her." When she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, now that's kind of weird, isn't it? She's standing right there. Why are you talking to Gehazi? "Tell her, we appreciate the kind concern you have shown us. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army?" Now remember, Elisha is a very influential man because the prophets of God spoke for God. They represented God on the earth. So Elijah was called upon by the king, by others, to help discern what God wanted to do. And Elisha says to her, "Look, when I'm there, you want me to put a, is there something I can do for you?" "No," she replied. "My family takes good care of me. In other words, I'm okay." Later, Elisha asked Gehazi, "What can we do for her?" Gehazi replied, "She doesn't have a son, and her husband's an old man." "Well, that's not very kind of them. The husband's an old man? Why is it? Never mind. Call her back again," Elisha told him. And when the woman returned, Elisha said to her, as she stood in the doorway, "Next year, at this time, you'll be holding a son in your arms." Now, you would think, no kids, getting up in years, Elisha says this, you would think, oh man, happy, happy, happy. Right? You think, wow, great. No, what's her response? "No, my Lord," she cried. "Oh, man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that." In other words, my life is just fine. I've got everything under control. Don't rock the boat. I just now have learned how to manage everything. You know, she could have been saying, "Well, you know, everything's fine. I got what I need. My husband's under control. I've got him taken care of. I got this in the workplace and everything else, and everything's just like I want it to be. Don't mess with things right now. You know, I don't want to risk making things more complicated." Do you understand that there's one thing in us that is there, is we don't want life to be complicated? And yet it is, isn't it? It's not simple, is it? I wish it was. And you see, she just says, "I don't need anything else. I'm fine." And then when she's given some great news, her response is, "Don't joke with me. Don't mess with me. Are you kidding me?" Many times we don't have more because we don't ask for it. Because we're afraid of what it's going to cost us and do to our life. And here is this gal who is given something every mother would want and every family would want in this day and time, a son. And she's given to this promise by the prophet. I mean, let's admit it. If he says it, it's going to happen. Take it to the bank. And what's her response? "Don't get my hopes up. You see, here's what we wrestle with. What if I ask God and I don't get what I'm asking for? It's just easier not to ask. I don't want to get my hopes up. And so we don't ask. Or, you know, what if I get my hopes up and nothing happens? I'm really going to be disappointed. What if it's not God's will and I ask for it? Well, I prayed before. I've hoped before. Nothing happened. Why ask again? Well, I've had faith for something, but I guess I don't have enough faith, so why ask for anything more? I really prayed, I really believed God, I really had a desire, but evidently I don't have enough faith and it didn't happen, so why bother? Now, please hear this. Let's be honest. We'd rather do without than be disappointed. Why get my hopes up? Wow, I'd really like to have that, but don't get carried away here. I mean, after all. And this lady is given the best news she could possibly be given. Elijah tells her, you're going to have a son. Not just a baby, a son. Huge. Father's old. She had given up hope already, hadn't she? She had just already come to a place in life where he said, okay, it's not going to happen. And now the prophet, the man of God, says, it's going to happen. And what's her response? Not, oh, good, oh, great, thank you. I'm so grateful. Oh, you're wonderful. Her response is, don't play with me. Don't do this to me. Don't get my hopes up. Don't make me disappointed. We do everything we can to avoid disappointment. Even we go so far as we quit asking God for what we want. And you're not going to get more if you don't ask. And I believe everybody in this room has something going on in your life right now that you've pretty much just given up on and stopped asking God for. Because it hasn't happened. I don't want to get my hopes up. I don't want to be disappointed. You know, I need something from God, but that's too much. What if I ask and it doesn't happen? We all understand this, don't we? It's not at me. It's hard, isn't it? And if you imagine how much our prayer life suffers because we've got a little checklist of things we've just stopped asking for. Pastor, I've been praying for this for so long and it hasn't happened. I might as well just give up. Pastor, I don't know what's going on. I just don't have the faith to do it, so why bother? Well, I don't want to ask God for so much. I mean, so many other people need stuff. Like, God's going to run out before giving to you, but then he won't have anything left over for them. Where do we get that idea? So you and I have to come to that place where we have to overcome our fear of dashing our hopes. I'll move on. There are disappointments in serving God. There are disappointments in serving God. In other words, there are times when God is not going to do everything you want, or God is going to do things in a manner that you don't like. Life is disappointing at times, isn't it? Because here's the deal. We try to teach it to our children. We try to tell them this, but we adults are horrible at it. We try and tell our kids, in life, you don't get everything you want. And then we grow up, and unfortunately, we let that take over. Now, go back to point one. What did she want more than anything else? I want to please God. Verse 17. Sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant, and at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. And one day when her child was older, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 to 7 years old, somewhere in that time frame, he went out to help his father, who was working with the harvesters. And suddenly he cried out, "My head hurts, my head hurts." And his father said to one of the servants, "Carry him home to his mother." You know, younger boy, pick him up, carry him home, take him home to mom. You know, so the servant took him home, and his mother held him on her lap, but around noontime he died. And she carried him up, laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door, and left him there. The day started out fine. It was wonderful. It's harvest time. That's a great celebration time in Israel. The crops are being brought in. The boy's out helping dad, learning the trade. And around noontime, comes a point where, you know, my head hurts. My head hurts. They take him back, and he dies. Put yourself in this woman's place. How would you feel? We never know when problems are going to come, do we? We don't know. We like to think we're in control, but we're not. We like to believe that we can call the shots, but we can't. And so what happens is, well, I can't call the shots with God, so I'll call the shots with you. I'll tell you what to do. I'll tell you how to act. And we try to control our life, don't we? And in life, you're going to have to deal with the disappointments that come. The things that happen that you dread. The things that you think, I can't believe this is happening to me. The things you never would have expected. The things that go on that you just can't figure out. There are so many things in our lives that you and I have to face on a regular basis that are disappointing. And I need to understand that life is full of these moments. As hard as they are, as difficult as they are, there are times when things happen that just go beyond my understanding and probably just as bad, beyond my control. I can't control it. I can't fix it. I don't know what to do. So there's disappointments. And she has this happen. And then we have to live with determination. I want you to notice her response. It's critical. Verse 22, she sent a message to her husband. Send one of the servants and a donkey. Now remember, it's harvest time. Everybody's out in the field. It's got to happen. So this is a huge request. So that I can hurry to the man of God and come right back. Why go today, he asked. It's neither a new moon festival nor a Sabbath. But she said, it'll be all right. So she saddled the donkey and said to the servant, hurry. Don't slow down unless I tell you to. And as she approached the man of God at Mount Carmel, Elisha saw her in the distance. She's probably traveled at least 6 or 7 miles. It's a long journey. He said to Gehazi, look, the woman from Shunem is coming. Run out to meet her and ask her, is everything all right with you, your husband, and your child? This is kind of confusing here. Yes, the woman told Gehazi, everything is fine. Now, isn't that just like us? We go through different things in life, and someone comes up and says, everything okay? Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, I'm going to be all right. Yeah, there's no problems. You ever done that? Oh, yeah, we do. All the time, don't we? Yeah, it's okay. Verse 27, when she came to the man of God at the mountain, she fell to the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. And Gehazi began to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She's deeply troubled, but the Lord has not told me what it is. And she said to him, now notice what she says. Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? And didn't I say, don't deceive me and get my hopes up? Man, is she giving him the right act, huh? I didn't ask for this. Look what you did. You did this. Look with this. I don't understand this. I didn't ask for this. How many times when you've gone through a difficult time have you thought to yourself, I didn't ask for this. I didn't want this. I mean, I want life comfortable. I just want to be able to go along smoothly. I don't want anything to rock the boat. I don't want to have to deal with difficulties. 29, Elijah said to Gehazi, get ready to travel. Take my staff and go. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Go quickly and lay the staff on the child's face. But the boy's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I won't go home unless you go with me. So Elisha returned with her. Mom's thinking, you know what? If this is how it's going to end, I wish I'd never had the child. I didn't ask for this. I told you, don't do this to me. Why would God make a blessing a burden? We always have to remember, don't we, that God's ways are not ours, right? That God sees things from a different perspective. And please hear this. Sometimes what we call a burden, God calls a blessing. And if you and I think, well, if this is God's blessing, I'd rather not. Yeah, I'll pass. Everything's okay. I don't need this now. God always has a plan, and He always has a purpose, even when we don't understand it. So she went to God, Elisha. That was the God that she knew. And she said, I am not going to leave you. I don't care how difficult things are. I don't care how confused I am. I am not going to leave you. And you see, when we face problems and difficulties, what we do, we have a tendency to turn in every direction but God. We have a tendency to get mad at God and leave Him. God, I didn't ask for this. God, I didn't sign up for this. God, I don't understand why you're doing this. God, here I am, and I've tried to do everything I can to please you, and now look what it's got me. God, I don't get it. And it's very hard for us to come to a place where we approach God from a spiritual standpoint and not a carnal one, and that we look at our problems according to God's viewpoint and not our own. She was determined to keep her faith and hope in God. If you'll remember back earlier, we talked about it in a message previous. Remember how when Elijah was getting ready to be taken up to heaven in a chariot, he said three times to Elijah, you can stay here. And Elijah said what? I'm not going anywhere without you. I'm not leaving. And here now this lady's saying the same thing. Because here's the deal. When you get into the problems that you didn't ask for, when you get into the circumstances and situations that you don't understand, when you're dealing with a mess that is just confusing and playing with your mind because it doesn't seem fair and it doesn't seem right and it just isn't what you signed up for, it's at those points in time are you going to have the determination to say, I don't care what happens, God, I will not leave you. God, I don't care what's going on and I don't understand this and I can't make sense of it. I'm just confused by why and what and how and everything's going to go on. But God, one thing's for certain, I am not going to turn my back on you. God, you're the one I'm going to look to get me through this. You're the one that's going to help me. God, at times I want to blame you. But at the same time, I know I can't go on without you. Well, that's a tough place to be in, isn't it? I didn't ask for this. I didn't want it. And now, God, look what you did. But God, I will not leave you. She had this determination that said, okay, it's a confusing time. I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to go through this. I didn't want to face this, But God, my desire to please you and to honor you is still intact. God, I don't understand why, and I can't make sense out of this, and I don't know how it's going to turn out. And God, the truth be known, why wouldn't you just let me go ahead and live my life and let it be safe and secure with no problems and don't rock the boat? But God has a way of rocking the boat, doesn't he? Life has a way of rocking the boat, doesn't it? And when you come to those moments, your determination has to be, I'm not going anywhere without you. And the lady turns to the prophet and says, you know what? I want you to understand something here. As surely as God lives, she was sure of that. And as surely as you exist, I'm not going anywhere unless you go with me. That's faith. That's confidence. That's determination, isn't it? Now you see, we tend to use God as, well, if you're not going to fix this problem, I didn't ask for it, and look what serving you has gotten me, and look where I'm at because of what's going on. If that's the way you're going to treat me, well then goodbye. And we go look for other solutions, don't we? The problem is when we do that, we don't get more, do we? Final point. We must accept the destiny God has for us. Verse 31. Gehazi hurried on ahead and laid the staff on the child's face, but nothing happened. There was no sign of life, and he returned to meet Elisha and told him the child's still dead. When Elisha arrived, the child was indeed dead, laying there on the prophet's bed. He went in alone and shut the door behind him and prayed to the Lord. Then he laid down. Now, think about this. If I'm mom, I want to be in the room. Right? I want to see. But he keeps everybody out. He lay down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, his hands on the child's hands, and as he stretched out to him, the child's body began to grow warm again. And Elisha got up and walked back and forth across the room once, and then stretched himself out again on the child, and this time the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Now, why did he sneeze 7 times? I don't know, and neither do you. I've heard all kinds of reasons that we don't know. Verse 36, Elisha summoned Gehazi, called the child's mother. When she came in, Elisha said, here, take your son. And she fell at his feet and bowed before him, overwhelmed with gratitude. And then she took her son in her arms and carried him downstairs. Now, that last verse, you've got to notice something. She acts contrary to the way most people would act. She walks in the room, her child's alive. Elisha says, take the child. What would your first response be? I pretty much know it. You'd run to the child, wouldn't you? Where does she go first? She goes to God. She goes to the prophet. She's filled with gratitude. She gives him praise. She thanks him for what he's done. And then she goes to the child. You see, when we're facing problems, it's very hard for us to get a perspective. That is why we trust God. God's ways are not ours. And if we don't stay faithful, we miss the destiny that God has for us. Well, Pastor, I've just given up praying. I've prayed and prayed, and nothing's happened. Please hear me. Your prayers are never wasted. Your prayers are never wasted. Some of you have been praying for something for years. Don't stop. You and I come to that place where we don't understand everything that life does, it gives us all kinds of difficulties. But we trust God to know that God is in it, and what God wants to do is give us more. And if I will stay faithful to Him, He will take the tragedy. He will take the heartache and the hurt and the pain. He will take everything that's going on, my fault or not, and he can make everything work together for good, can't he? He can take the mess that I'm in that I never asked for, and I can feel like he's disappointed me and let me down and bailed on me. And he'll say, if you'll stay faithful to me, if you'll keep seeking me, I'll take your life and I'll make it better. And I'll give you more. Don't stop asking. Don't quit praying. Don't be afraid to get your hopes up. Well, Pastor, I don't understand it. I don't either. But we have an example for us. You'll remember when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he started his ministry at about 30 years of age. During that 3+ years, he constantly told people around him, I am here to do the Father's will. He had a heart to please God, didn't he? He constantly said, this is my purpose in life. This is what I've come for. I have come to give my life for others. He knew it. He understood it. He lived it. He said it. He preached it. He spoke it. He did everything about it. And yet, what's interesting to me is when it comes down to the point where the crucifixion is about to take place, Jesus gets away with his disciples and goes to a garden and starts praying. And what does he pray for? His prayer is almost contrary to his life. Because he asked the Father, we're told 3 times, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. If it's possible, I don't want to go to the cross. If it's possible, if there's another way. It says he prayed so hard that he began to sweat drops of blood. It's just agony. He asked for something he wasn't going to get. Why are we afraid to ask for something we're not going to get? Why didn't he get it? Because God had a greater plan, didn't he? Yes, he had to go through a difficult time. Yes, he had to give his life, didn't he? But the Bible tells us that because he was obedient, even though he suffered, that God exalted him to a highest place above every other place. And now he is the King and the Lord over all things, and everything has to bow at his feet. He got more. So here's the question today. What have you settled for in life? What have you kind of said, well, you know what, it's okay, I'll just live with it. Things are going along all right now, don't rock the boat. I'm afraid to get my hopes up. And what are you afraid to pray for? What have you been praying for and thinking, well, what's the use? What do you talk yourself out of? What is it you think right now? Well, I just don't have enough faith for it. Are you willing to ask for more? And to pray even when it looks hopeless? And even when you're afraid to get your hopes up for it? Well, Pastor, what if I pray in prayer and I don't get what I want? God has something for you that's greater, and he has more. Now, do you believe that? We're still kind of, right? So you and I come to that place today where, whether we like to admit it or not, we're more like the woman. Don't mess with me, Elijah. God, don't mess with me. Don't make a promise that I'm not going to get. Don't make me go there. God, I don't want to get my hopes up. Hear me today. Get your hopes up. I thought there'd be a little bit more. What is it you're afraid to hope for? What is it that you're not asking for and you should be? Do you want more? Ask for it. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.